Welcome to the Why Not Today podcast, where we support entrepreneurs to take bold action, clear steps to start a business, get unstuck, or grow with more clarity, confidence, and courage. I'm Leslie Kane, a courage coach and founder of the Why Not Today movement. I created this podcast in honor of my dad, Patrick Kane, who often said, "Why not today?" And now this has become a guiding question in my life and business. Each week, you'll hear solo episodes where I coach through common business challenges and guest interviews that go beyond inspiration to teach what actually works. Whether you're launching something new or navigating pivot, you'll leave each episode with a clear next step and the reminder that you're not alone. Let's dive into the Why Not Today podcast that helps you grow with courage and by taking action. And FYI, we do not edit these episodes because I want to be real, authentic conversations. And so my guest today is Janet Counts, and I don't really know her that well. And I did something I shared a video in Facebook, and I think I emailed it out to people yesterday, or not yesterday, earlier this month. And I talked about the scavenger hunt of blessings. And just being aware, and you know, we're on social media and I try not to be there long, but sometimes just something catches your attention. And that was Janet. And I knew nothing about her, but your post you put about the ups and downs of business and life, it was honest, it was authentic, and it caught my attention. I couldn't tell you exactly what it said now, but we jumped on a Zoom call like the next day or something and got to know you. And oh my gosh, I think we talked for almost 2 hours and just so much energy. So I love your story. I love what you're doing and just your energy and your enthusiasm for helping people and women. And that's really what this podcast is about. So welcome, Janet, to the Why Not Today podcast. Why don't you introduce yourself and a fun fact?
Yeah, I'm Janet Counts. I have a blended family of four kids and I'm married to Brandon Counts. And a fun fact is, even though I'm always out and about at events, I'm actually introverted and quite socially awkward. So anytime I'm asked what my fun fact is, I usually share that my favorite food ever is sweet potatoes. And I actually have my motorcycle license, but I'm never going to use
That's fun. Okay.
Yeah.
So why do you have it if you're never going to use it? Or why aren't you going to use it is probably the better question.
Why I'm not going to use it is it's terrifying. Why I have it is because when I turned 18, the options that are available to you at 18, I wasn't interested in, and I won't name them because some of them are like things you can purchase or participate in. So I was just like, I don't know, I'm going to go. I was waiting to get a tattoo, so I wanted to do something else. I just got my motorcycle license. Turns out you don't have to be 18 to get it. And everyone there had already been riding motorcycles for like a long time. And it was my first time. It was actually really hard, but I'm like never being on a bike before, but I did it and I have it and I'm never going to own a bike.
That's a fun fact. Yeah. My newest fun fact is I was on a 1921 fire truck on 4th of July, driving through Asheville, North Carolina, waving like I was in a parade.
That's fun.
It was fun. But
sometimes there's things where like, you just have to do it and realize that like, sometimes you have to invest the time to realize that it's a no. Like you're like, let's go this path. Oh, no. I thought I was going to buy a motorcycle or like a scooter or something, like a little Vespa. And, I was like, no, this is not for me.
Well, and part of, you know, what we talk about on this podcast is courage. And sometimes it's courage, even though you invested all the time and effort and probably money to say, no, I had somebody on here in season one that she was going to write a book and just decided not to. And, you know, that takes courage too, especially once you're out there telling people to just not do it. All right. Yeah. So that leads me to courage. What does courage mean to you?
So I was thinking about this and to me, it means having persistence, having determination, but I think there's something where like, to me, it's about also having curiosity because you have to kind of, typically our courage is related to something that where we might have had fear. And I think you have to have a curiosity to see like what's beyond, what could be different. I don't know if everything's the same and you don't want anything to change, how much courage is in that, I guess. I mean, there could be, we can theorize about that, but to me, it's about some sort of determination, but also kind of sparks with some sort of like curiosity.
Totally agree. And yeah, and doing things that are new can be scary, and we just got to start them, and that takes courage. And we don't do these things completely confident. We usually with very little confidence or no confidence, but that's how you get it. I had a guest recently. He said his definition was courage leads to confidence.
Yeah. And I have a phrase that I've kind of coined, and I think it even was in the post that you saw. But it's one of the later questions, so I don't know if I want to get into it now, but
you can share. Share now so we don't forget.
I know that you asked your guests like what you wish you knew before, and something where if I think of courage and I think of like having to get started, in that post that I wrote, and something that's been really recurring, is to fight fear with failure, because sometimes this fear is a fear of failure or a fear of not knowing, and it's like, well, take all that away. What if I just try? What if I just see? Like, it's a game, you know? And you're just like turning your mindset to, well, how fast can I fail at this? And I know that sounds negative, but it takes all the fear away when you're like, oh, let's just see.
With my Mary Kay career, we talked training consultants that are afraid to ask people questions or for bookings or just talk to people. Like, we actually have used a tracking sheet for 100 no's.
Like, oh yeah.
Your goal is to get 100 no's. So,
and like, maybe that's part of in there from Mary Kay many, many years ago, is just kind of celebrating that, because that means that you're doing something and you're going to learn. That's how we learn, not by sitting and analyzing forever. I talked to a friend and like business owner. I used to be her business coach, kind of paused right now because she's doing fine, but she was talking about making reels or putting her face on camera, and I didn't want to do that either, but in a way I kind of was like, girl, it's gonna suck. Like, not
yeah, it is like my first podcast episode, I'm sure, was pathetic.
just accept it, and maybe it doesn't, but like, if you just accept it, and do you still want to do it if it sucks, but knowing that later they'll be better? Or do you, like, I think we get in this mindset of always thinking that everything has to be perfect from the beginning, and it's not like that. And anything that you see from someone that's like that, it's been edited, or they took away all their crappy posts or their crappy, you know, whatever.
But we focus on, with the Inner Circle program I do, we focus on progress over perfection. Like, and that's what Why Not Today is all about, is just taking that action. Because if you don't start, you're never going to get there. And when you fail, John Maxwell says, when you fail and fall down, grab the lesson before you get up.
Yeah. Yep. So. I pull things from so many different books, and I'm really bad about remembering the authors. It's not a skill of mine, but there's a book that I was reading about people that have better success are so much more comfortable with failure. Like, it's not it's like a thing. And when you can turn it into like celebrating it, then it's not so scary. So,
well, that's really where I want to focus this podcast now, is giving people hope and permission to try and fail. And that's okay. And talk about the messy middle, that it's not a straight line to success. And we have lots of bad days and lots of things that don't go our way, but we don't talk about those things normally. But that's what I'm trying to bring to light. Let's talk about some of the bad days. Like, things went terrible. I remember one time I went, had an appointment, and it was a bridal lead. I didn't know the person. I drove to West Virginia. It was probably about an hour. There was a storm coming. Like, roads were closed because there are logs down in the road and trees. And I finally get to this house, and I had to go up a muddy driveway. I walked in. They're all standing outside smoking cigarettes with jeans and sweatshirts. And just, it was a bunch of women. And I still remember going in, and like, I asked them their names. And then halfway through, I said something about somebody's name, and they all start laughing. Well, one person gave me a wrong name. Like, she didn't want me to know her name.
So, like,
she
on filled purpose? Out
her name. Yeah, on purpose.
Okay.
And then at the end, when I left, my pink Cadillac got stuck in the mud, and mud was going all over it. So I had to have one of the guys there come out and get it unstuck. It gets in the truck in my brand new pink Cadillac, muddy boots, and it's all over. I remember just driving out of there in tears. I'm like, okay, this is a lesson. This is not always how it is. And, you know, those bad days. And I think I treated myself to a nice phone and got over it.
So. And it just, you know, we don't always know. And I think for women too, it's, I have to remind myself of this too, because my personality type is like high achiever. I like to do all the things, I like crossing things off the list, but our bodies, our energy levels, our everything is not like a man's. It's not consistent every single day where you can go out and have the same level of achievement or whatever every single day. And so I think understanding that that about ourselves and just about each other, we're all like,
and women are more emotional beings than men, and that's known. And I actually do a training talking about the emotional cycle and of business. And, you know, we go from excitement to fear to doubt. You got to get back into action.
Yeah.
So, but let's talk about your journey. So like, I know you had shared that you were in the iTech and IT industry. I can talk.
Yes.
That. So let's talk about some of your why not today moments in your journey. Like that moment in time, you remember where you were, what you're doing when you're like took a pivotal change and your life changed.
Yeah. I do feel like I have them all the time. I've tried a lot of things, done a lot of things. I typically get a kind of like a vision. I can usually see it before I make the decision to do it, but I'll get into like the feeling and me choosing. So, and that brings me to where I'm at today, cause I'm pivoting right now. So anyways, I, worked for about 10 years with a Native American tribe in Oklahoma in IT. Not all of those years did I live in Oklahoma. I moved back to Virginia, but COVID happened. And then, my husband was always trying to, and I was divorced and remarried now. So like lots of life happening during those 10 years, but, he always wanted me to work with him and help propel the business. I got to a point, Potomac Plumbing and Gas.
Okay.
Yep. And he's been a plumber his whole life, and this is his like second business. He always wanted me to come help. And I finally got to a point where I was like, okay, I'm ready, because I was tired of working remotely. I loved my job, but I was tired of working remote. And so I thought I planned it out, but I kind of didn't. I kind of just went for it. I let my boss know, and I don't want to make this like too long-winded, but I feel like I got thrown into the ringer of small business ownership so fast. And this leads into like, what would you have done? Like, if you knew now what you knew then, kind of thing, where like, oh my God.
But he already had a successful business when you jumped in, right?
I mean, I'm so analytical where I'm kind of like, define successful. Yes, he had an existing business. It was going well. But to all small business owners, when you were trying to wear all the hats, they're not all being worn to the best of their ability. You know, it's a lot of spinning plates. Yeah. So, and I was used to a large organization, a lot of structure, not only in work, but also in like my personal life, where like, you know, I knew what I needed to do. It was kind of clear and steady paycheck like situation. Mm-hmm. You know, I was salaried and stuff, but it was routine, I guess.
Right.
So I left in July 1st of 2023 was my first day not at the Native American tribe. By the 26th of July, I think it was, Brandon was in the hospital. We had three technicians to keep busy with work, and that was not happening. He ended up in the hospital with appendicitis, but it had gotten infected, and they'd already taken his appendix out, and he was continuing to decline. So he ended up being in the hospital for like 10 days or something. And it was just, and no income, no, like few calls here and there, but everything felt like it collapsed. My corporate insurance had lasted that month. So I'm in the hospital trying to figure out new self-employed insurance and get all that situated. It was just a mess. And then,
and by the way, he probably didn't have systems in place to run the business you walked into.
System? What's a system? What is that?
And you pull him out, and yeah, I can only imagine the chaos.
Yeah. So then over the next few months, he really wanted things to grow. Like the business was going, he had a bit of a foundation, but I'm trying to like not get again too long-winded about it, but that was just my first, like, I was like, whoa, okay, well, we got to make sure you're not dying first. And then we'll worry about if we're getting paid this month or if we're not, or what, you know, making sure our employees are taken care of. And so the next few months were my version of my worst nightmare. There were months where we couldn't get paid, like, or we didn't pay ourselves. There were lots of things where I started to look kind of behind the covers, and I wasn't finding extra money. I was finding extra things that hadn't necessarily been paid or, you know, just sorted. And yeah, so just lots and lots of, like, I had the why not today moment, and then I was like, all right, we can do this. And then just thrown into a tornado.
And sometimes it's got to be a mess before it can get back together. Sometimes it all has to fall apart to build it back.
Yes. And this is a recurring theme with my husband and I, because he's so used to operating that way. That's kind of how his dad also owned a plumbing company. He was like, oh, this is normal. And I was like, oh, this is completely not normal for me. So anyways.
And I think that's going back to trades. Like,
yes,
he's good as a plumber. Somebody's good as a contractor. Somebody's good at what they're good at. But the whole business thing, and that's one of the reasons I'm focusing on this, is I learned that with the Mary Kay business, they did it all. And when you own your own business, you got to figure out a lot, and you don't know what you don't know. And so being able to ask people, have that network of people. I was talking to a friend of mine last night and talking about somebody I had a conversation with in marketing. He's like, I love what you're doing. I'm intrigued. I want to help you. I'm not charging you. And she's like, how do you build that? I'm like, you know, you got to be out and you got to be asking and you got to, you know, talk to people, and people are willing to help, but you need to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to find your people. I do think it's, I love that what you're doing with your groups and just bringing some of those people together, because it is hard to find other, maybe husband and wife teams that are running a business together, or even just by yourself. Sometimes you have your friends and family, but they're not in the same boat as you, you know, so they can't give you like business advice, or they like to give you advice and it's well-meaning, but they're not your target audience. So it's like, what,
right? You know, they want to protect you if they're family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good friends, and they don't have no idea what you're doing.
No. You know,
my brother.
It's not their fault, but yeah.
No, it's not. I mean, you just, you're busy working and they're not, have no idea. My brother, I saw him the other day, and he's like, I talked to this mutual friend, and she's like, she couldn't say enough good things about you, like what you're doing and how you're making a difference and all these things. And he looked like dumbfounded, almost like, like, yeah, I am doing good things. Like, pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah. But then also on the other hand, and I don't want to make it like negative or like somber or anything. On the other hand, sometimes those friends and family members also, like, you know, I use my social media intentionally, and I try to be pretty transparent as well. But like, I'm like, just because you see something on social doesn't mean you don't need to like check in on how I'm doing, because it's hard. It's stressful. It's hard sometimes.
And it's lonely.
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
And I talk about this often. A friend of mine that had a franchise, we met for coffee one day, and in tears, she told me, nobody ever told me it was going to be this lonely.
Yeah.
And I think it's not just entrepreneurs, but it's successful people in leadership. There was an article in, I think, the Washington Post around COVID, and the owner of like the Washington Capitals. And he's like, you know, nobody checks on the top people.
Yes, you know, I would agree.
You're taking care of all the people working, but nobody checks on the leaders. And you got to keep it together.
Yeah, that's our job. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, don't forget to check on your small business owner, friends and family, because it's tough. And especially the women, they're probably second guessing themselves and stressing out.
That's why having your people, your tribe and your friend that you can
call.
Yeah,
that's why.
To say, all right, I'm struggling, help me. Or I have a good friend of mine that when I was up, she was down, and she was dumb up, you know, in our business. And often we would like, you need to be in the room, in the energy of somebody that is going to fill your cup. And even in a Zoom, like that call that we had a couple weeks ago, you know, I felt end of the day, I was exhausted. And oh my gosh, I felt so much more energized because of it.
Me too. And now I'm being reminded too about the why not today experience I'm having right now is that, so it's been about 2 years that I've helped my husband. And I just feel this like sense of, I want to do something else, or I've always wanted to like do my own thing and help other people in my own way. And I've kind of had this like my blinders on. Okay, let me help him get situated. At a certain point that I had in my head, I was like, then I'll be free to like do my own thing. And then him and I were talking about business goals and things like that. And he was like, yeah, I might not want to like go that direction or worry about that. And my heart sank a little bit because I was like, dang, I've been working so hard for this goal and dream, which does pay my bills. Like I'm thankful for it, but my heart sank because I was like, well, this isn't what I want to do. Right. So then I was like, okay, well, why not today of starting what I want to do and do it at the same time? Because it kind of supports one another. But yeah, so I'm starting to pivot a little bit with still supporting the plumbing company, but also getting to do something else in terms of like empowering women and helping with other trades, business owners about the things that I'm passionate about, which is what I would call like the soft side of marketing, not Google ads, not Facebook ads, even though I can talk about that a little bit, but really
I need help with that.
Really switching to just being in the community. And when I was, so we have a CSR that answers the phones, and we have, you know, Brandon runs the day-to-day operations. So this is really where my role got carved out is, and I couldn't find any podcasts, any information about how do you grow a business? Like, what do you do locally? You know, there's a lot of things about going viral online, but my goal is not to go viral. I mean, if it happens, cool, but I don't know if I really want that. But so really like getting really familiar with being in the community and how to leverage those things to build actual connections and how it can help grow your business.
Well, that is something I am so passionate about, and just did a podcast episode on community. And
I saw it. Yeah. I didn't listen to that one yet, but maybe I'm thinking of something else. Is that one released yet?
I don't know. It isn't released yet. So I'm like,
okay. And then it wasn't that one. It was a different. Yeah.
It'll be out before this one is. But community is so important. And I often talk about this. My dad started the Reston Chamber of Commerce, not because he had business. His business wasn't local, but he was raising six kids in the community. And that's so important that you're volunteering, you're out there, you know people. And it's kind of a joke. I mean, I've lived in this rest of my whole life and I know a ton of people. And so people need a contact for someone, they call me. I know, like, you know, who can you volunteer? Who knows how to do this? You know, I knew somebody called, texted me the other day that they had a family member in crisis. There was a young who knew somebody and a young kid that was in a preschool, and there was some neglect possibilities. And she's like, I know you know everybody. Who do you know? And I reached out to two people and immediately had messages back and support. Yeah. And so that's so important that you have not only your business tribe, but your local community tribe. That, you know, when something happens, you have somebody. You know, when your husband was in the hospital, did you have a community and a tribe that was there? And it all then turns into business.
Yeah. And that's the thing that I wish people, like, if I could just wear this on my forehead every day, that is, and this is why I don't like going to networking meetings where it's called a networking meeting. I do go to some, right, but I don't like it because people, everyone is going with this like handing out business cards type of vibe. And I'm like, oh, no. If we get, especially women, if we get a bunch of women together for anything and women just want to connect and like fellowship together. I know that's kind of a churchy word, but you know, that's how we're made. And what is naturally going to come up eventually? It's work. Like it's going to come up.
And not just work, but how can you support each other?
Yeah.
I asked that to someone one day we were talking and I said, how can I support you? She goes, nobody has ever asked me that question. You know, but it's, and that's why the luncheon that I host is not about networking. It is building community. The Inner Circle program I'm doing, that's the exact same thing. And it's, you know, we are building community and a tribe and that support. That's so important.
No one wants to feel sold to. Don't come at me with that energy. Like, I don't want that. But also in these groups, sometimes I don't want that product or service or don't need it or whatever, but can I go like their Facebook page or like give them a shout out or snap a selfie and tag them something where that feels natural to me, but it's
when
not.
When they come at a salesy and
man.
pushy, then I'm just like, ooh, no, I had somebody send me a, and it's coming out a lot these days. I had somebody send me a message in Messenger, like this message, like, I'm doing this amazing thing. You have to come join me. I don't even know what it is. And
Like,
oh, I'm not. And like, you go to a network. I remember going to a networking one day and this woman, I'm walking in, you walking in, you're like, and this was like a couple of years ago. So we're just coming out of COVID. And you know, you go to a new event and you want to kind of scope it out. Where are the people? What's the structure? How's it going? I walk in the door. She's like, hi, here's a flyer. This is what I do. I'm like, no.
I took Haley, our CSR, to an event, and it was it's a luncheon, and it's like there's networking kind of that's soft networking, but it's a women in business centered luncheon. And her and I, even though she's our employee, she works from home. Like, we don't get out and about together very often. So we were up for mingling, but we were also like kind of having a conversation on our own. And this lady walks right up to us, not really with a whole lot of social awareness. And I get you kind of have to find an in, but like she just and handed us a whole packet of things and was going on and on for like 20 minutes. And I was like, you not once even asked if I'm like eligible or interested in, it was something, it might've been about retirement or insurance, or there were no questions.
Well, it must be some, I don't know if it's just swirling in my world. I had two calls the other day with people that one, I mean, both of them were all about them. One was walking around on a track on a Zoom call. And I guess I should be careful what I'm saying. Maybe they won't. But the other, like we, and the other, I'm sure we'll never listen to the podcast. The entire conversation, Janet, for half an hour, she talked about her, or I asked her questions about her. She never asked me anything about me.
About you.
Nothing. Like it
I was
was
trying
a
to think
one
back.
way conversation. I'm like, oh my gosh. We need
I was
to
thinking back to our
educate.
conversation because I was so just pumped up. I don't know why. I mean, because it was great, but
because we have equal energy. We're,
I think so. Yeah. And so I also, as we do, I was second guessing, like, did I ask enough? Did I not? Because I was just so pumped up and excited. And I sometimes get, I interrupt people a lot if I'm excited. That's an ADHD thing of mine, I think. But anyways, I hope it was, I hope
you wouldn't be sitting on this podcast if it wasn't.
Okay. That's good. That's good.
To be blatantly honest, I'm very protective of this podcast.
And I
it's got my name on it.
Yeah, that's something that I also hope that people realize is it's okay to say no. It's okay to change your mind. Being out and about in the community and having, and in business, you have to learn how to have a graceful and sometimes very stern, no, thank you. I'm going to be moving on now, whatever it is.
A complete sentence. So with this new venture you're looking at, working with women in trades. And are you going to be teaching and helping and coaching on being in the community?
Yes. So, and some more things that I'm just passionate about in general. So, I have started recording a podcast. It's not released or out yet. But that's going to be called Business and Brunch, because it blends two of the things that I enjoy, which is having a business mindset. I also have a degree in business, so it's like, I could talk about it all day. But it is different when it's your business. Mm-hmm. And the brunch part adds, like, I love planning events or going to events and just adding that, like, out community, let's just connect. Business will come later. And I think it gets people out of thinking that every time you go to something, it needs to be a sale. Oh, I went to this thing. I didn't get any sales. Well, then you're going about it wrong, in my
opinion. And you never know when that sale will come through years later. I had somebody literally I met on a boat at Smith Mountain Lake for 24 hours. I was in this woman's presence and we connected on Facebook. And 13 years later, she reached out to me on Facebook, says, do you still sell Mary Kay?
You never know.
You just never know. But yeah, you can't close the door. Well, I'm excited about this.
Yeah, me too. And then I'm going to be doing some vision board workshops in January. That's a great time to get that going. And I'm going to use that to talk a little bit about the importance of, like, visualizing and just not always being so digital, but getting some pen to paper, and we'll have the, like, cutouts. We actually, like, actually do the craft of creating the vision board. And then the other thing that's been on my mind, and, well, not even on my mind, I already, like, it's happening, but is customer clarity workshops, because a lot of the women that I talk to, they are a little, how do I say this? They want to grow their business, but they're afraid to not get really clear on their customer, because they're like, well, it could be for this, it could be for that. And that's going to make it really challenging to make decisions and progress in the phase of business you're at, if you're not really clear on who your target audience is and who they are not. And
drives me crazy when you go to somebody, I'm like, who, you know, who do you want to meet? Who's gonna, anybody? And I'm like, no, not anybody.
No.
So important.
Now, and I like to talk about this in this workshop, which is, you can have your, like, for the plumbing business, we have our area that we service. So you can have an area. Well, yeah, if a male is looking for a gift, you know, for his wife, sure, he can buy from you from Mary Kay. Is that who you're going to spend all your time and energy marketing to? No.
No.
It doesn't make any sense. No, so you can have this area where they potentially could be your customer, but that's different than who you are targeting.
Right.
And so sometimes I like to ask people, you know, like, a different way to phrase it, I guess, is, who's your dream customer? What is that person like? And I actually love the, who is your dream customer not? Because they'll say, oh, I'll meet anybody. I'm like, oh, you want to meet a 10-year-old boy today? That would be a great customer for you.
Well, I love where you're going and the direction you're taking this. And I'm excited to do some things. It's interesting. I looked at the analytics of my podcasts this week. And the number one listen to is my initial one, because that's where everybody starts. I didn't even hear
it. I'll mute myself if he does.
No, you don't even hear it. The second one, top one, is a friend of mine, and she talked about vision boards, and that's the second most listened to podcast. And so I think there's
something
there. Yeah. And I've done many of them and taught on it. And yeah, so a lot of things you're talking about are things that I want to incorporate. So we got to keep this conversation going.
Yes. So, and that's why I was so excited on our last call, because I was like, oh my God, we're on the same wavelength, and encouraging.
We need to collaborate with some things, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Definitely. So I'm trying not to make these too long. And so we're going to wrap this up. So as we finish, how would you encourage somebody that's thinking about starting a business, has this business, they have a month like you did that you put in the fire? Like, how would you encourage somebody?
I would say, I typically find that at least with women, and I know your podcast isn't all for women, but that's usually where my brain goes. I typically find that they like stop analyzing. Just pick one thing and start something. And again, fight fear with failure. Just like fail, go spend 30 days or whatever, just today, and just fail. Put up a crappy video, put up a crappy post, get a crappy website up. Like, I think there's so much information where you could Google how to start a business or how do I do this? And you're going to spin your wheels trying to like, try to get all the pieces right without actually, sometimes you can spend hours, months doing that without actually making a sale. And so
I was going to say, I talked to somebody the other day and she's going to take a 12-week class on how to write a business plan and then an 8-week class on how to find the right customer. She doesn't even know what she's selling yet. I'm like, you got to get, So that's what Why Not Today is about. You got to just.
Just pick something. One of the fun ways is to like tell someone you're going to do it, you know, that public accountability, goal sharing thing. And I feel like I might've wrote something down because I was thinking about that. Oh yeah. Just stop analyzing. Oh, and for the stuff in the universe, because I'm big on this too. If you feel a nudge, trust it. Don't be like, oh, well, I could never do that. Do you want to? Like,
that's exactly what I talked about.
Yeah. Recently. Like, and trust that nudge, God or the universe. Kind of
blessings.
Yeah. And they're going, trust that it's going to meet you halfway.
And listen to the first voice.
Yes.
Because we listen to the first voice and then we listen to our voice and we talk ourselves out of it.
Yes.
All right. Exactly. So we can go on and on, Miss Janet, but we're going to have to cut this off. So, but I love it. And we're definitely going to be doing some other things together. And maybe it's a vision board luncheon that we do.
I would love today that. Connect. Yeah.
Sounds great. Fun to do. So, well, thank you for being my guest today. And thank you everybody for joining us at the Why Not Today podcast. This is your space for practical tools, real encouragement, and continuous growth. Whether you're launching something new or navigating a pivot, I hope you're leaving today's episode with a clear next step and a reminder that you're not alone. And if you're ready to take the next step and learn more about what I'm doing with Why Not Today, check it out on the whynotdaymovement.com website. And this podcast is your bridge from inspiration to action. And I'm here to walk with you every step of the way. And if this episode spoke to you, share it with a friend, subscribe, review it. And remember, as I always close with, why not today? Thanks, Janet.
Thanks, Leslie. Bye-bye.